Passion, drive, and patience. The formula of winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything for you to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED lights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has it covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices that you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP it needs to be and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Again, ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Oh, shit. You have to cut all that out. Let me.
Okay. Cut out.
Are they recording right now?
Looking at Blitz.
Looking at Blitz. Blitz. Well, Blitz isn't going to be looking at you because Anna just walked in there and showed the tits.
What tits?
See, Blitz. Blitz's mic is on. Are we courting? Courting? Blitz for the courting. Blitz, are we courting? Blitz, are we courting? Homie, why don't you go knock on the window and ask him if you're motherfucking courting?
We're recording.
You are?
I went to the window.
You're an R.
The filthy got up and looked at me.
You should keep all of that in.
Okay, I will. Keep all in.
Maybe cut off the cough early on and then just cut all that. I mean, keep all that speculative, are we courting stuff on.
Okay.
Hi, this is the Bubba the Love Sponge question and answer show hosted by Lummy. Lummy, I feel as if I shouldn't have to do any of the fucking hard lifting at all.
I feel like
I'm in here even having to set up what we're doing because you don't have the ability to be as fucking good as I am.
Oh, well, we kind of started and I had to run over to the glass, so... Welcome all to the Bubba Q&A.
Don't sound like Carnival Barker. Let's sound natural. And you know what? I can't tell you how long I'm going to do this. Like, it may be 5 answers. It may be 15 answers.
Want me to hit the hard-hitting ones early?
You do whatever the fuck you want. We can always do this again.
Yeah.
And again, and again, and again.
Okay.
It's going to be an ongoing deal. Like, in fact, we don't want to probably hit all the ones today because then we don't have anything to come back with now, do we?
Oh, no. We won't be hitting all of them. Are you doing okay?
No, I'm not.
That's the first question.
No, I'm not doing good. I'm sick as I've been hulking up on the air trying to put my big boy pants on, but I'm not feeling well.
I'm sorry.
I'm is that really a question or is that just you kissing ass?
That's me kissing ass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was me just okay. Kissing ass.
All right. So, probably. I'm here to answer questions that people may have about me.
Yeah, it's about you. We had a lot of people send questions in, a little bit about wrestling, a little bit about your relationship with Hogan, and a little bit about your radio career.
What? You're supposed to keep it moving along.
Well, Blitz just sent me a message.
Well, okay, what did it say?
When do you want me to start recording? Because he wasn't in there, so Rhett was wrong. So, I started recording earlier. So I got that.
Hold on.
Yes.
So what we just did may not have been captivated.
Well, I captivated it on my recorder.
But you're going to have to then mix minus this your quarter onto his quarter?
Yeah.
Is that doable?
Yes, it's doable.
You answered it somewhat timidly.
It's doable. It's doable, Bubba. 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 Yeah, yes, thank you. Welcome to the Bubba Q&A with Lummy, where we got some fan interaction. Jeez. Emails that want to find out with wrestling or Bubba's career.
The stupidest guy to ask me important stuff.
But we will start our questions right now. Bubba, this comes from Carl in Rhode Island. He wants to know.
Are these really coming from people in different areas or are you just making all this up? And please be honest with me.
No. They all came in on different emails. In your radio career, that has been over 30 plus years.
36.
What What would advice would you give a young Bubba Clem that's starting in the radio business of all the years of working in it?
Oh, to save more money, spend less on whores, and to no, because I think I needed to be very much a rebel and very much go against the grain and do stuff that they told me not to do in order to be what I became. And so, you know, I wouldn't say be more goody two shoe, and I would just, it would be more financial in the fact that I made a lot of money, you know, when I was relatively young, and I would have been just far more, you know, sensible about it. I could have easily, you know, as early as starting back in like 1989, I could have started saving like literally, you know, $300 or $400 a week. I could have started like, I remember back at B96 in 1989, I was making $1,000 a week, which was aft the lowest end that you could, if you're a Chicago Union radio guy, the lowest amount they could pay you was $52,000. And that's what they paid me. Because I wasn't a big time, you know, star. So this, they paid me just union scale. Well, that was $52,000 a year. It was $1,000 a week. See, I worked for CBS and they paid me $1,000 a week. I used to go and cash my check, Lummi, and I think I brought home like $816.
Oh.
Like, you know, I didn't have that much, you know, I don't know.
Well,
like something like that.
Apartments were expensive there too, right?
Well, I didn't have to have a $3,100 penthouse apartment back then, which took almost, you know, I was living paycheck to paycheck. I could have got a $1,000 a month, you know, apartment. I didn't have to have a brand new Dodge Conquest. It was $650 a month. I didn't have to have a cell phone. I didn't have to have a Louis Vuitton satchel. I didn't have any of that bullshit. Just think, if I would have saved, well, let's just say, Lummi, I saved $300 a week.
Okay.
Which there were some years I was making millions. Well, let me see. 2022 minus 1989 is 33 years times 52 week times 52 weeks is $1,700, 1,716 weeks. And let's just say I was saving $300. That's $514,000. Now, you're getting, what, 6-7% interest all day on money you're not touching?
Yeah.
Okay. Compound that. I mean, that's probably $5-6 million.
Yeah. You'd be living pretty right now.
Wouldn't be here in this shitty studio with your dumb ass right now.
Well, would you have retired?
No. I don't know what I'd be doing. I know I'd probably be doing exactly what I'm doing, hanging out with you, Lummi, in this fucking warehouse in Tampa, Florida, that's infested full of rats, pretending that I'm happy.
Oh, well, that kind of leads into, do you regret changing your name?
No, not at all.
So you're happy with Bubba the Love Sponge Clem?
Sure. Okay. I mean, yeah, what the fuck? What am I going to be? Todd Clem? No, I'm Bubba Clem, bitch.
Now, in 2011, when you started Radio I.O. and you left Sirius, would you rethink that deal?
Yes.
Now, when you started Radio I.O., do you think you were...
You need to slow down a
Sorry.
Little bit.
Do you think you slow were ahead down. Of your times? Ahead of your time?
Yes, I think I should have stuck with the Sirius deal, knowing what the ancillary dollars were and the global thumbprint, but I think I was way ahead of internet radio by, I mean, 10 years ahead of.
Do you know, what do you think led that to not work? Radio I.O.
I think that we didn't have enough capitalization to begin with when streaming costs were so high and music royalty rights were so high. We needed more capital to upfront. You weren't expecting that answer now, were you?
No, I was not. I was thinking it may have been the people that were employed at the time.
No, not at all.
If you didn't put the right people in place.
Oh, that might have something to do with it, but I was trying to be positive.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll stick to being positive. This was one of the most popular questions.
No, you don't have to be positive. I'm just trying to keep my positive zen. You can be, Don't hold back, you pussy.
Oh, I won't. But this one was one of the more popular questions, is where did the nickname Ballard come from?
I've told this story before. I'm not telling it again.
Okay. Because I know that guy called in, and he was one of the guys that sent an email.
I've told this story. Have I not?
Yes, you have.
Okay. You, knowing a lot about the show, have I told the story before?
Yes, you have.
Then I ain't telling it again.
There you go, everyone. Speaking of the past radio people that you worked for, between these two, who do you regret hiring the most, Spice Boy or Mike Calta?
Mike Calta.
And knowing everything that's went down between the two, if you were forced to work with one of them once again, who would you work with? And why?
These are stupid questions. They're not even questions that would even be a potential possibility. I would quit radio.
I think they want to see who you hate more between Spice Boy and Mike Calta.
I hate them equal. They're both pieces of shit. They both conspired together to fuck with me and do what they did to me. So one physically stole it and shopped it, and the other one took it and got it distributed. So pick your poison.
Okay.
By the way, this is a very exclusive podcast. We're ending the month of November with this very exclusive podcast. Hopefully you appreciate it and become a daily subscriber. We're nearly 4 million downloads. By the time this particular podcast comes out, we might be at 4 million.
Sweet. Hopefully this pushes over the top. If it does. Outside of the Howard world, when you were there, who was your favorite member on the Stern show besides Howard Stern?
Ronnie.
And why? Why did you like Ronnie?
Ronnie, because he's a guy. Ronnie and Fred. Well, Ronnie. And then Fred, and then Artie. I really would have liked Artie, but Artie was just so fucked up. He was just so fucked up.
Gambling and drugs and alcohol?
Yeah, all of that. He was just so fucked up. Artie and I probably had more in common as being common dudes, less the substance abuse. And then, but Ronnie is just the fucking salt of the earth. Ronnie is just such a great guy. And so is Fred. I don't know Fred as well as I know Ronnie, but I love him. But I love all three of them, but I think Artie might be back maybe in rehab or something. He's such a hit or miss deal. And it's very inconsistent to stay in touch with him, but I stay in touch quite frequently with Ronnie a lot and Fred a couple times a year. And I still, you know, get a Christmas card or a holiday card from Howard and a birthday card from Howard and I don't try to have a lot of communications with Howard because he doesn't like, you know, that busybody, you know, texting and or emailing back and forth unless it's something of substance. The last time that I spoke with Howard was when he lost his parent and I told him, you know, I was thinking about him and I loved him and you know, stay strong. But I you know, those are the people that I keep in touch with.
Who is your least favorite member of the Stern show?
Benji.
And why?
I think Benji's kind of lazy. I think Benji's is lazy. I think he's very talented.
Was his personality fake?
Yeah, and he's got that, you know, slapstick. Is it real? Is it the Andy Kaufman kind of, you know, that kind of deal? It's like, stop, Benji, stop it. We're not, the mic's not on.
Oh, so he would do it just out and about, not even just on the air.
I really didn't know Benji that well. The few interactions I had with him, we didn't seem to jive that well. But to his credit, I really don't know him that well either. I will tell you this, he's talented. He's a very talented writer. He's very talented.
What is your biggest oh shit moment that you never got caught for after the age of 35?
Professionally or just in life?
Both.
I don't know that I can speak of it because I still haven't been caught for it.
So on both of them?
Yeah. I mean, you know. Yeah.
No comments?
I don't think I can.
Okay.
I mean, some of it's, you know, still brewing.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm still working on some shit.
I gotcha. Mm-hmm. Well, then, I mean, I guess I'll ask this for no comment, but this is from Joe from Massachusetts.
Hi, Joe.
I believe it's Super Joe. whatever.
Joe, the supermarket. I love him. Holyoke Joe.
The Ultimate Warrior came out about 11 years ago on a podcast and said that Linda used to be passed around to the boys. Did you ever see this?
Nope, that never happened.
Okay, then, yeah, his follow-up was, did you ever have a chance with Linda?
No.
And would you have?
Yes, I would have. No, I did not. And no, she didn't get passed around. I mean, and I know all the dark secrets of that whole, of all that shit. And that's how it is.
This actually comes from a former employee of ours, Colton, of yours, I'm sorry.
One of my favorites.
What pill regimen were you and Hogan on back in the day?
Oh, man. I don't know if I should probably, I don't know if I should
get into all of it.
It might be a HIPAA violation for Terry, I mean,
no, that's true.
Yeah.
Because he says, you always talked about the Rattler. Yeah. And you always kind of,
I'm not going to tell you what we took, but I can always tell you what we had in our Rattlers. We had Vicks, we had Perks, we had Cialis, we had Viagra, we had Flomax, we had Amoxicillin, we had Valium, Xanax, Somas. That's the kind of stuff we had in there.
Oh, wow. Nice. Who was the wrestler that Hogan hated the most that hasn't come out and would talk a lot of shit about?
My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get when you're talking through Mint Mobile. I mean, I can't believe that I've been living some other life with all this scratchy mobile when I can get crystal clear and the best mobile through Mint Mobile. And I can do it all for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. I can afford this. How much have I been paying on my other plan? Probably getting gouged. But it's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plan. I mean, I'm talking jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Say goodbye to all that nonsense. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with a premium wireless plan starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the largest 5G network. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/Bubba. That's mintmobile.com/BUBBA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/Bubba. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plans. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
I don't think Hogan really cared for Jeff Jarrett a lot when Jeff Jarrett laid down at the Bash of the Beach and embarrassed him in front of Nick and ended up being a huge lawsuit. I think him and Jeff Jarrett end up working together at TNA when I was there, and they played nice just because Dixie had already bought the company, and Jeff Jarrett was just kind of there hanging on for kind of a payday. But I think Hogan always, first of all, he hated Jesse. He hated Jesse Dupree. And Jesse the Body Dupree. You knew that.
Yeah.
And, and then during the time I ran with him, he didn't like Mach. But, you know, him and Macho Man were actually best friends until some shit went down. And then I think he didn't really, I don't think he cared for the Honky Tonk Man. And, I would say, who did I start out with?
Jesse.
And then Jeff Jarrett, just because, Jeff jobbed him at Bash on the Beach, laid down there, and because Hogan wasn't happy with the finish. And so, Eric, Vince Russo, called Vince Russo. I was there at the Bash of the Beach, and Vince Russo called it was a pay-per-view in Daytona, and Vince Russo, who's the booker, called for the finish for Jared to win the belt over Hogan, drop the belt, and Hogan had creative control in his contract where he could change anything at any time with regards to him.
In the ring, too?
No, I mean, yes, in the ring, but more importantly, before they went out and wrestled, Hogan, they would all go in the back and talk about, okay, this is what's going to happen, okay, boom, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to put you over, I'm going to clean in the middle, I'm going to get the strap, blah, blah, blah. Or, hey, we're going to have some interference, double Zabida, get me some hard juice. I'm going to go over, but it's going to be a fuck job, it's going to be a DQ. Well, Vince Russo is telling Hogan, hey, we want you to lose clean. We want you to, do a job clean in the middle for Jeff. And then we're going to come back a couple pay-per-views and have you win. It made, I don't know how much business sense it made, but they were certainly going somewhere with it. It just wasn't to bury Hogan. They didn't want Hogan to drop the belt at a pay-per-view because they were just going to bury him. A lot of times that's what they'll do. They'll have a guy drop a belt at a pay-per-view just because the guy's runs over or he's pissed somebody off, and then they don't have any intentions of creating an angle about it and having the guy come back and win it, either on TV or a pay-per-view. Well, they had some type of big-time deal. They were going to have Hogan drop it at the Bash of the Beach, and then he was going to do a couple like Monday Night Raw, Nitro gimmicks, and then by the next pay-per-view, Hogan had it, again. Well, Hogan didn't like that. And as Russo is telling this high spot or the finish with Jeff and Hogan in the room with Bischoff too and me, Terry goes, nope, not happening. That's not how it's going. So they went through this whole program where Hogan, they were out there for like 15, 20 minutes, and eventually Hogan, pinned him clean 1, 2, 3. But it was, it was a big 15 to 18 minute match. There was some, they were doing some stuff on the outside. They were going to hit each other in the head with a chair. That Hogan was going to drop a leg. Honky Tonk was going to do a guitar shot. They had it all planned out. So, it was good. That's what Hogan thought it was. Well, Vince, right before the match took place, Vince took Jeff Jarrett to us aside and said, fuck him. Fuck Hogan. I want you to go out there, and when the match starts, I want you to lay in the middle of the ring and tell him to cover you with his foot. Like, don't even wrestle him. Just literally lay down to make a stand to the company, to Turner, that this is. And that's like the ultimate form of disrespect is when a guy does that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so the ring starts, the match starts. And Jared goes right in the middle and just lays flat down and said, Terry, cover me. So Terry didn't know what to do. He was freaking out. So he just put his boot on Jared's chest. And the referee goes, 1, 2, 3, boom, boom. And then it was a fucking shit storm backstage. And Nick was crying. And Nick saw it all. And Hogan was like, you had to do this in front of my kids. And it ended up being a big lawsuit.
And this was all because of Vince Russo and Jared?
It was because Russo was the booker, but Hogan overrode his decision that he had in his contract. So that was to make Hogan look bad on TV pay-per-view.
Now, how long did Hogan stay at WCW after that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
was that 95 or 96, I believe?
Yeah, something like that. You're supposed to know that.
Yeah, I believe I'm right on the dates. Well, speaking of bookers, the next question was, there's been a lot of heat the last 2 years with Eric Bischoff. He was
he's been fucking with me.
Well, the question that I got asked was him saying that he used him at his lowest point, Hogan, and we're not good for Hogan. Where did all this heat come from? And what
it came from that he's a Hogan mark and he still, you know, needs Hogan to keep his bullshit going and he needs to stay in the good graces of Hogan. So why not, you know, you can't put me over for that. So you sit here and say that I used Hogan when in actuality, you know, I actually resurrected Hogan from his lowest moment. You know, there were times he'd call the show two or three times a day just because he didn't have anything to do. And he was bored and he was begging for free Suburbans and free rims and free this and free that. I mean, right? I mean, you heard those phone calls.
Yeah, no. He had a chicken sandwich tour.
So, you know, it Bischoff can't be intellectually even correct about it or even be honest about it because he can't piss Hogan off. So when that topic gets brought up, he can't say, "Well, you know, that was a low point. That was a low point for Terry, and thank God for Bubba because Bubba kept him in a free Suburban and, you know, kept him relevant and had all of his listeners go to VH1.com and voted Brooke number one." And, you know, like he couldn't, you can't say that. And then the big whole sex tape went down and it looks like you're supporting Hogan.
Well, I guess the recent one with the Vice, with the Macho Man, he said that he never had a good relationship with you and that he never liked you. Now, did you ever have a good relationship with him?
We had a great relationship. I used to have an apartment. I used to have a fuck pad that nobody knew about over in Rocky Point. And guess when Eric Bischoff stayed in town so that he could save money, where do you think he lived?
The fuck pad.
He lived at the Rocky Point fuck pad. So, yeah, don't even start your bullshit, Eric. You want to start talking shit? Let's talk about the Rocky Point fuck pad that you stayed at. Let's just leave it at that. Jesus.
So you did have a good relationship, obviously.
Yeah, I had a great relationship with Eric. I mean, he knew that I wasn't there sucking off Hogan. Hogan was sucking off me for the longest time. And he knows it. I know I'm the bad guy now. I easily play the bad guy role within Terry's world for what has happened. But you guys all lived this life with me. You heard it. You listened to the shows.
Yeah.
I'm not making shit up.
No. Yeah, he was down. He kept asking you for a job at one point.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to find the break where he literally says, I'm being honest. I need a job.
Yeah.
I'll be in there every morning at 6 o'clock. And I'm like, Hogan, Hogan, you won't make it 2 weeks.
Yes, I will.
I mean, remember how many times he would call me a day for me to have to call the sheriff because Nick was crying because he wanted to be put back in General Pop because he couldn't stand solitary confinement. So I'd have to call the sheriff every day and see if I could get Nick moved.
Yeah, it was multiple times. Just like the vote VH1.com.
Yeah, just like some other shit I can't really talk about. No. I get this big blood caper at the emergency room where Nick and John Graziano went. I did something super unethical there too. And we can't talk about it. I probably shouldn't even have said.
Oh.
People will start to, I mean, I don't want you to edit it out, but yeah, there was a big, no, don't edit it out. Leave it in, but it'll let people think, what? Yeah, I did something. I mean, I kept Nick Hogan out of prison. I'm just going to say that. I did. I think statute of limitations have ran out since, cause, you know, but yeah, I kept Nick Hogan out of prison.
We'll leave it at that then.
Yeah, I think it would be a good part for us just to leave in general.
Oh.
Has it been a good 30 minutes? How long has it been, you think?
It's been about 25, 30 minutes.
There you go. 25 or 30 minutes, and I'm starting to lose my voice. Can you tell?
Yes, I can.
So we'll do this again, you know, in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Keep, you know, by the way, great questions.
Oh, yeah, I got some more, so I'll save these.
Well, how about the juiciest one one more, the juiciest one, if you want. Or, you know, you do what you want. What do you want to do?
I mean, I don't know if you can answer. I mean, this one, you know, but how many times did Hogan sleep with your wife? And did you ever think about joining in if it was more than once?
Let's leave that. I have answers for both.
Okay.
But let's leave them for the next time.
Okay.